and I want to talk to you from the subject of grow what God has planted. Grow what God has planted. So we're in this series on believing big, and this series is all about believing in a big God who can do the impossible, who can do anything but fail. And we've been really, I think it's been 4 or 5 weeks that we've been on this series, and it's been really, really good. So today is a continuation of this, but we want to talk about growing what God has planted. What do you mean, Pastor? There's some things that as believers are already planted on the inside of us, but they have to grow and they have to develop in our lives. There are two things relative to this series on faith that I'm teaching that are imperative that that we grow in. Number one, that we grow in our faith, and we've been talking about that. And then number two, that we grow in the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Romans 12:3 teaches us that God has dealt to every man the measure or the portion of faith. So when I get saved, I've been dealt a portion of faith. That faith is for me to believe in salvation, to believe in the Holy Spirit, you know, the foundational things. But what has to happen is my faith has to grow. And the writer talks about your faith growing exceedingly. So Paul teaches that every believer, we've got this measure or this portion of faith, but it's up to us to grow and develop our faith. Romans 10:17 really shows us that. It says, so then faith cometh by and hearing by. So we understand that if our faith is going to grow, we're going to need the Word of God. And so just as we receive a portion of faith or the measure of faith, when we came to Jesus, also we received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That when we gave our lives to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of us. Now, this is different from being filled with the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the moment that I accepted Christ into my life, that he came. And let me just talk to you and remind you that the Holy Spirit is still for today. I know some people say, Holy Spirit's not for today. That went away with the apostles, you know, and all those kind of things. When Jesus is teaching in John, the 14th chapter, in the 16th verse, and I'm not going to read the whole thing and give you all the breakdown, but he begins to talk to his disciples, and he's talking about the promise of the Spirit, and he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may be with you and abide in you forever. So forever means forever. So the Holy Spirit is still with us for today. But there's a difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 talks about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed on him, when you confessed in mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he said you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a, what's that next word, class? Deposit, all right? So so he was deposited on the inside of me, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So we receive the Holy Spirit immediately. So two places we need to grow. We need to grow in our faith, and we need to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Today, I want to really focus on developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We've been speaking on faith, like I said, for the past 4 or 5 weeks, and I hope that your faith is growing. But one thing that I've taught you throughout this series in the book of Galatians, it says that faith works by love. So love is the motivator. Faith is the activator, okay? And so love is what we would call an attribute or a quality of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, Paul actually says the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruits of the Spirit. A lot of times I know we say there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. There's actually theologically, and it's nothing to fuss with people on, so don't get into no conversations about that. But it's actually the fruit of the Spirit. It's a singular manifestation with 9 qualities or 9 characteristics. Characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. So let's go to Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse, and let's kind of dive into it. Y'all ready to learn some stuff today? Yeah. All right. So for Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit. Now, is that singular or plural? All right, but the fruit of the Spirit, and then he goes on to talk about the attributes of this fruit of the Spirit, is love, is joy, is peace, is long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience, okay? It is kindness. It is goodness. Goodness is more than just being a good person. It has to do with moral integrity. It is faithfulness. It is gentleness. It is self-control. We all need to work on self-control, praise the Lord. And then the writer, Paul, as he's writing to the church at Galatia, he says, against such there is no law. There's another translation that says that no one can bring a charge against you. What the writer is saying is that as I begin to really see these manifestations or these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit in my life, love and joy and peace and self-control and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness. He says, if I live my life where the fruit of the Spirit is in manifestation in my life and you can see it, he says, nobody can bring a charge against you. Nobody can say anything because you're living the way Jesus wants you to live. You got it? Now, if you out there fussing folk out, how many know they can bring a charge against you? You got, how many know if you cussing folk out, and Christians ain't supposed to cuss, praise the Lord, somebody could bring a charge against you. You know, how many know that it's not the will of God for us to have mean Christians? Okay, I got three amens. I'm going to act like that didn't happen. I'm going to rewind. All right. Y'all remember tapes back in the day? Does anybody even remember tapes? How many remember 8-tracks? Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. So I'm going to rewind and say, now what was I going to say? Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. So what happens is, how many in the room know, or how many know it's not the will of God for there to be mean Christians? Amen. All right, that's a little bit better, all right? And so it's the will of God for you and I to cultivate a relationship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, where we see the fruit of the Spirit in operation in our lives, where it keeps getting better and better and better. So just like our faith is supposed to grow and grow and grow, you never stop growing in faith, right? The fruit of the Spirit should grow and get better and mature and be in operation in our lives at a greater level. So the fruit of the Spirit isn't something we produce on our own, all right? It is what the Spirit produces in us as we walk closely with Jesus and live out this Christian life. As we yield our life, you got it, as we yield our way to His way, as we yield our thoughts to His thoughts, as we begin to do things His way, we should see that manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit even greater in our lives. Isaiah, the 55th chapter and the 8th verse, very familiar passage of scripture. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says who, class? Says the Lord." He says, "For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." And so what God is really saying is, I'm smarter than you. You got it? And so what happens is, God says, I'm not going to come down to your way of thinking. You're going to have to come up to my way of thinking. You got it? He says, I'm not going to come down to your level of doing things. You're going to have to come up to my level of doing things, or my way of doing things, because mine are higher than yours. And so you always hear me say that if we learn to do things God's way, we're going to get God results in our lives, and especially in these areas of faith and seeing the fruit of the Spirit in manifestation in my life. As I grow in God and as I grow in His grace, things will get better and better in my life. So how many simple points do y'all think I have today? All right, three. Look at your neighbor and tell him you already know. You already know. He's got 3 points. You already know. All right, so we're going to jump into these 3 simple points that I think are going to be a blessing, and we're going to learn some things that I believe that are going to help. I want you to understand that anytime pastor's praying and about what, you know, the Lord is going to have me talk about, you know, this lesson comes to me before it comes to you. Conviction comes to me before it comes to you. I'm reading this, Holy Spirit's giving me this, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, man, I hope I'm doing right in this lesson or in this area. And as I'm writing those, I say, Lord, help me to be better in these areas, because I think this is a lesson not just for 1 or 2 people. I really think this is a lesson for every person in this place, because we never stop growing. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so it doesn't mean that you're not doing good. It just means gooder is possible. Does that make sense? All right, here we go. Everybody say number one. Number one, the seed of the Spirit is already in you. The seed of the Spirit is already in you. And you've got to understand that, because if you don't understand it, you'll think you got to muster something up and you've got to create some faith and you've got to create some fruit of the Spirit and those kind of things. No, but because we are saved and we've given our lives to Jesus and the Spirit already dwells in us, it means that the fruit of the Spirit is already present in our lives. But like natural fruit has to grow. How many, and it has to grow over time. How many know spiritual fruit has to grow and has to grow over time, right? If you were to take an apple seed and you were to place it in your front yard, you know, dig a little bit of earth up, you'll put the seed down, you know, put the earth back on top and you'd water it, you know, and you do that today, which is Sunday. Let me ask you something. If you wake up tomorrow, Monday morning, are you going to see an apple? No, you're not going to, right? But I submit to you that over the next 6 or 8 weeks, if you keep watering that area and keep watering that area and keep watering that area, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to see maybe a little green stem coming up out of the ground. Mark 4 talks about first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. It is talking about process, and everything about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. That is why the writer says in patience, you have to possess your soul. If you're going to get what we call the gold watch in life, you're going to have to learn how to go through some things and get through some things. You're going to have to learn how to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to learn how to take a licking and keep on ticking. And when you begin to think about, you know, that seed goes into the ground and you don't see anything right away, because the first thing it's got to do is it's got to take root, right? And once it takes root and it's being watered, little by little, it begins to grow and it comes up through the ground. And so that is the process. Well, it is the same way with you and I. The fruit of the Spirit, you got, or faith, is not automatically going to just manifest in our lives, but as we spend time with God, as we cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit, as we're getting on that prayer call every Monday through Friday, as we're praying on our own, as we're doing our devotions, as we're listening into the word, to the word of God, it's beginning to take root on the inside of us. And not overnight, but over time, things get better and better and better. Does that make sense? That is why if somebody, gets saved today, and let's say, you know, they're coming in fresh, don't know nothing about Jesus. You understand? I mean, they still smell like weed right now. You understand what I'm saying? And so it was a joke. Y'all can laugh. Praise the Lord. Boy, y'all are so serious today. And so, you know, just coming, you know, I grew up, you know, in the inner city. My father, had for lack of a better term, deliverance ministry and those kind of things. We saw all kind of people come in, you know, with drugs and alcohol and, you know, and all kind of things. We see them come and get saved and the power of God, you know, just hit their lives and those kind of things. But when, watch this, when somebody gets saved, right, you know, be careful if they get saved on Sunday, not for you to expect them on Wednesday to act like they've been saved for 50 years. Does that make sense? Because, see, they're going to have to learn. They're going to have to grow. They're going to have to develop. The first thing that has happened is they gave their life to Jesus, so now their spirit man has been renewed, but their carnal man has got some work. Come on, somebody. You got it? And if they don't get that carnal man, you know, working out right, you got it? Because last Wednesday, if they got mad, they'd have cussed you out. You understand? We're hoping as things grow, they're no longer cussing you out, maybe fuss at you a little bit better, but the more they grow in God, they even move away from fussing, saying, I ain't fooling with you. Does that make sense? Because we grow, amen. We grow not overnight, but we grow over time. And so be careful not to be so critical about people. I don't know why they ain't saved, why they saved. They don't got no God in them. They don't love. Don't listen to people who talk like that. Truth is, we are all working our soul salvation out with fear and trembling. Truth is, every one of us in the room, including me, are growing in God's grace. We're trying to be the best that we can be. And of course, yes, when we grow, we do get to the point where we don't do things that we used to do. You understand? Absolutely. But watch this. Because, you know, pastor doesn't do all those things, it doesn't make pastor any better than anybody else. Hello, somebody. It just means that, thank God for his goodness, that I've grown in God's grace. And the same person that's struggling with some things, be careful not to judge them, because as they begin to grow in God's grace, God's going to do some great things in their life too. Does that make sense? You know, and I'm not giving anybody a license to sin. You know, I think it's always funny when people say, be careful to teach like that. You're giving people a license to sin. No, I've learned clearly, people will do what they want to do. I don't need to give them a license. You understand? But what I'm going to do is teach the full counsel of God. You understand? You know, I teach it all. There's times where I have to get up and I quote Jeremiah where he says that your sins have withholding good things from you. Right? So, but if somebody's caught up in sin, yeah, I might lovingly tell them that, but I'm not going to beat them up. You got to see, that's why you're in the situation you're in now. Because the Bible, because Jesus done told you that your sin is holding things from you. You just a demon anyways. Well, how's that going to help anybody? You got it? When the writer says, with loving kindness have I drawn you. So maybe learn to love somebody. And maybe when you see that they're going through something, maybe pray for that person. Maybe encourage that person. And maybe watch God do some amazing things in their lives. Does that make sense? Amen. That's a good place to clap. All right. So we're growing in God's grace. Everybody say grow. What God has planted. Yeah, and so just like fruit grows from a seed, the capacity to bear the fruit of the Spirit is already on the inside of us. 2 Peter 1:3, he says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. And so we've got to understand that God has already given us everything that we need, right? But when we receive Jesus, we receive all of him and everything that came with him. We receive the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We receive that measure of faith, but it's up to us to grow in faith. We receive the fruit of the Spirit, but it's up to us to cause that fruit to grow in our lives. So number one, the seed of the Spirit is already in you. All right? Now everybody say number two. Number two, fruit grows by faith and not by force. Fruit grows by faith and not by force. So you don't force fruit, you feed your faith. All right? You trust God's word. You speak God's word. You spend time with God. And so it grows like that, all right? Because you can't, see, you can't force someone to be at peace. You can't force someone to have joy. You can't force someone to have self-control. You understand? Beat it out of them. That ain't going to work. That is not going to work, all right? So you can't do those things. Fruit is the natural result of staying connected to Jesus. John 15:5, Jesus begins to talk, and he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, doesn't just bear fruit, but bears what, class? Much fruit. There you go. He says, watch this. This is real powerful. See, I love Jesus because he's going to give you grace. He's going to love up on you, but he's going to tell you the truth. And I love that about him. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. And you've got to understand, that is why we need Jesus. And you don't need Jesus just on Sunday, but you need Jesus on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, when all hell is broken loose in life. You need Jesus. So he doesn't just want to be your Sunday God. He wants to be your everyday God, but that's up to you. Right? And so, but without him, we can't do anything. And that's why everybody has to be saved. That's why everyone has to give their life to Christ. Like, heaven is real, but how many know hell is real too? Right? And we can't be so timid that we're scared to talk to people about hell. Just don't be trying to condemn everybody and put them in hell. Right? I tell people like this, you know, hell is not a place you go because God's mad at you. Hell is a place you go to pay for your own sins. But why go and pay for your own sins when Jesus has already paid the price for your sins, and all you have to do is invite him into your heart and live for him? You'll live a quality life on this earth, and then when you close your eyes on this earth, the heaven belongs to you. I mean, that is not a bad deal. Just give your life to Jesus. So spend time with God in prayer. Prayer is communication with God, but it's confrontation with the devil. Jesus says that we are to always pray and not faint, all right, or not give up, all right? Read your Bible. Study the Word. You know, you can tell if you, I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about you, right? So, you know, because it's easy for me to talk about me, right? So I'll just talk about me, all right? So I can tell about me, and you can tell about you if you've been spending time with Jesus or not. You got it? See, I probably, if I'm real down and I don't have a lot of faith and I'm kind of talking doubt and, you know, and those kind of things, I probably haven't been listening to the word. I probably haven't been spending time in the word. On the other hand, if I'm real frustrated and I'm always upset and I'm, you know, on edge, I probably haven't been spending time in prayer. You understand? Because after you begin to spend time in prayer and you begin to get into his presence, some of that frustration just has a way of leaving because God's spirit shows up, because you can't have frustration in his presence at the same time. Does that make sense? You can't have stress and his presence at the same time. You can't have anxiety and his presence at the same time. Pastor, I don't know about that. I'll tell you what, if you just go and get into a room somewhere where there's nobody and you just start praying and don't stop praying until his presence shows up, once his presence shows up, you realize everything that's not like God has already left. Thank you, ma'am. All right. So practice obedience to his word in the tough moments. All right? Let's talk about a tough moment. A tough moment is having to forgive somebody. And the problem is we want to process forgiveness when Jesus says forgive them immediately. We you know, and I get it. You know, I've been down the same road, so I'm not knocking you, because you start thinking about what they did and how wrong it was. And yes, it was wrong. And yes, it wasn't right. But forgiveness is not based on if someone was right or not. Forgiveness is a decision not to penalize for somebody for something that they actually did that was wrong. It is the choice to move beyond the offense, and ultimately, it is making sure that I release anything that is in my heart, you got it, when I forgive, because God wants to do so many incredible things in your life, and the Holy Spirit knows he can hold it back based on you walking in unforgiveness. And so even though you might be disconnected from the person that did you wrong, I ain't talking to them no more, I'm blocking them on social media, I'm blocking them on my phone, because I can't see, and that ain't got no problem with that. But what happens is you still got to deal with your heart. You got it? So I don't, because just the whole out of sight, out of mind only helps in the natural, but not the spiritual. And I'm talking to somebody in here today. You got it? What you got to do is you got to deal with your heart. What I have to do is I have to deal with my heart. You got it? And say, you know, and make the decision that I'm going to forgive them. Watch this. And it's not about based on if they deserve it or not, because God, watch this, sent his son Jesus, who paid a price. And because of that price, what me and you are forgiven. And it's not based on if we deserved it or not. Does that make sense? Hebrews 12. Y'all doing good? Y'all getting anything out of this? Hebrews 12 and 14, a lot of times I love the KJV. I quote everything in the KJV. Sometimes I'll use the New Living Translation, the NIV, because it just, the wording is a little bit easier to understand. The KJV, you can go ahead and put Hebrews 12 up. It says, follow peace with all men in holiness, for without no man shall see the Lord. In the NOT, it says, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. Can I just be honest with you? If you and I just do those two things, we will never have time to be in anybody else's business. Never have time. Well, I don't know what's going on, because I used to see him come over her, and now I just see him. You ain't doing that right there. Ain't no way you're doing that right there. There's just no way. You got it? Because if I just work at living at peace with everyone and work and living with the holy life, I got a full-time job just making sure brother man is doing what brother man's supposed to do. Does that make sense? You got it? And can I be real honest with you? I don't really care what folk got going on. I just love them in spite of what they got going on, because when I see people, I see them through the lens of eternity. I see them through the eyes of Jesus. It really don't matter what they did. All that matters is when God sees you, he sees the blood of Jesus. So what can wash away our sins, and what can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And if it had not been for the blood and had not been for the Lord that was on our side, there's no telling where we would be. So the reason why I don't really want to know what y'all call it, the tea? Yeah. I don't know all that stuff, you understand? Doc, I don't try to fool with that. But I got kids. They tell my old dad to tea this. I don't know about no tea. I drink coffee, praise the Lord. But I don't need no tea, you understand? I got my own tea, and I'm trying to work out my own tea. Give the Lord a big hand, praise. I don't really know if I said that right or not, but yeah. Is it okay? Close enough. Clock that T. Is that, yeah? I don't even know what that means, but I see y'all doing it. I see y'all doing it. All right, praise the Lord. All right. Okay. Oh man, okay. It's 12:08. We're in good shape. So church started at 11. The whole goal is to have about a 75-minute service. That means getting you out at 12:15. So we're in good shape. All right. But let's keep reading this. Go to verse 15. All right. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. I only said if you just do those two, you'd be doing a full-time job. Imagine if you really did those three, that if I work at being at peace with everyone, that if I work on me to make sure I'm living a holy life, and then I look after everybody that's at least in my circle. You understand what I'm saying? Because we all have circles, that no one fails to receive of the grace of God. It says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. When I operate in unforgiveness, there's a root called bitterness. And in the KJV, it says that it'll spring up in you, and by there many will be defiled. The NLT says it will corrupt many, because what happens is if I let bitterness grow up in me, you got it, then what happens is I'll be mean to you, I'll fuss you out, I'll talk about you. If you make me mad enough, I'll cuss you out, all because I didn't forgive somebody. And watch this, it doesn't mean it wasn't right, you got it, but I'm not forgiving, watch this, to release them, I'm forgiving to release me, because God has so much ahead of me, and watch this, he can't help me if I don't get past the bitterness in my heart from unforgiveness in my heart. Does that make sense? Amen. And so I got to make sure, I'm not just helping somebody, I'm helping everybody. All right. Galatians 5 and 25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's lead in every part of our lives. So it's the tough moments. Everybody say the tough moments. You are at Food Lion. You got it. And you know you gave that young lady $20, right? And she's waiting for more money. And you're like, I gave you $20. She's like, no, you didn't. You gave me a 10. And you know, you already feel your pressure starting to go up. And that ain't even the will of God. You got it. You know, you're like, no, ma'am, I gave you 20. And then she get a little attitude with you. You're like, yeah, I know what you gave me. I ain't crazy. You gave me, I got it right here in my hand. So I don't know what you just did over there in the cashier, you know, area in the little drawer, but I gave you $20, right? So what happens is you have to be careful not to lose your witness over $10. Don't get all worked up in the grocery store to the point that you can't hear, you know, the Holy Spirit telling you to calm down. You got it. So you have to learn how to work through the tough moments. You got it? Because now she talking junk. You understand? And now that's a problem. You understand? Because, you know, I'm now wanting to show you I can rise how you can rise. You understand? But that ain't none of God. You understand? And now the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to you. Jesus is trying to talk to you. And now you want to send Jesus to the car. Jesus, go to the car. I'll be there in a minute. I got this, Jesus. I handled this on my own. Don't send Jesus to the car. Come on, somebody. Take a deep breath and don't lose your witness over $10. You understand? I know you want the $10. I know you know that there was only possible for you to give them $20 because you just came from the ATM and the ATM don't give you $10. So I understand you want to see the camera and all that, but sometimes it's worth just letting the $10 go so you can leave the store, so you can keep your witness. And I promise you, if you do that, on the flip side, Jesus will give you more than $10. We got to go home, Court. We got to get up out of here. We got to go. Somebody warm the car up, praise the Lord. So fruit is not the product of striving, but the product of abiding. And so I've got to abide in him and allow him to abide in me. My last and final point, this will just take me 2 minutes and we're going to pray, that the fruit reveals the root. What comes out of your life reflects who you're rooted in and what's rooted in you. The more you trust God, the more of his character flows through you. Have you ever been somewhere, maybe traveling, maybe on the airport, just maybe at a store shopping, and like you never met that person before, but you know they saved. You could just say, she a child of God. Oh, that brother right there said, you just know. Why? Because there's something on them. Because they've spent time with God. And so you know, man, they are rooted. I can't tell you how many times. And it's so funny because when I notice that, it's like a certain smile I give. And it's like that person, they understand that smile. And they smile the same way. And then they say something like, man, God is good. And I say, he's shown up is. And that's what the world needs. Not us fussing and fighting and clapping back on Facebook and dropping it like it's hot and twerking and doing all those other things. Yeah, I'm coming at you strong today. I'm all in your Kool-Aid and I do know the flavor. And I'm just going to be honest with you. That's why you need a church like this. That's why you need a church. Yeah, we got some new school stuff, but we still do it the old school way. We still believe in holiness. We still believe in living right. He that have clean hands and a pure heart. So you get everything here. You get the new school. You got it. It's all pretty and everything. But we keeping the word of God in our heart that we might not sin against him. And that's why some of you need to go ahead and commit to this church today. I didn't do this at the 9, but I know what I'm talking about. Some of you are in here, the enemy has kept you from getting connected to this church because he knows that if you get connected to this church and you give about a year of full commitment, your whole life is going to change. Your whole life is going to change. And that's why he fights you. Or he'll let you hear somebody say something that don't even make any sense. You understand? I hear they check W-2s over there. Okay, praise the Lord. I mean, sometimes you ought to just be smart enough to know that ain't even true. And what that is just the enemy keeping you from coming and experiencing everything God has for you.